Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
This message this morning prepare you for the next level that God is taking you as a church and also as a minister of the gospel. We are talking about activating dominion. Dominion is already in place. But like every other thing, as you move on the ladder, you will begin to discover God's preparation for that level. And my message this morning is to get you to be in the place where you can actually move on to the next level. I know some of you are just giving your lives to Christ, and many of you are still very young. And when I say young, I'm not talking about age. Natural age. I'm talking about your spiritual age. Maybe you just got born again 1 year ago, 2 years ago, and some are still trying to find and understand this thing and grappling with the reality of spiritual things. I will be helping you this morning to grow up spiritually, by helping you see the need for it. You know, human nature will not go after something unless they see a need for it. If you can just live where you are living and continue to live like that, and you don't need to change anything, that is the status quo. That is how you rather operate. This morning, I want to move you up. Amen. I want to get you to mature. I want to help you to mature. Yeah, this is better. As I speak on the purpose of perseverance, this I've discovered. I will make my message very short. I don't want you to miss what I'm saying this morning. Okay, it's still morning. It's not yet afternoon. I want to finish before it is afternoon. You might need to get the tape again. I will cut off a number of things that might be a little bit tedious for you. I want you to understand. I don't just want you to know. There's knowledge and then there's understanding. The Bible says it is by faith that you understand. So you must have faith to understand. And faith is the victory. Everything we do in the Christian life is by faith. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Not even Jesus could operate without faith. He operated in faith. And that's why he grew, the Bible said, in favor. Not only with men, you can understand that, but he grew in favor with God and man. Now that means that God favored him and he grew in it. Are you following me this morning? That is, because he operated by faith, he grew. The soul part of him grew. His understanding kept being enlightened as he grew. This morning, the Lord will grant you an understanding and you will grow in Jesus' name. Gift is free. Maturity is expensive. It costs you something to mature. This cost is what you call perseverance. That's what it costs. It's very easy to give up. It's very easy to remain at the same level. But if you are going to grow,
It's not like natural. If you just eat and eat and eat, you will grow. This one, you will not only have to eat, but you have to exercise. Do it, what you are told. Faith in God connects us to the unlimited nature of God. When you believe God, it connects you to his unlimited nature. This unlimited nature of God makes impossible to become possible. Important to your faith is perseverance. When people talk about faith, they don't usually talk about perseverance. And many times, because you have refused to persevere, I'm sure Brother Kunle must have said that in some form yesterday. If you don't learn to persevere, faith does not work. Many times when prayers are not answered, people just give up. They say it's not working. But the truth is this. Once you begin to walk by faith, not only does God walk outside for you, he walks inside of you. Are you hearing me? When you walk by faith, two things are happening. God is working, but he walks outside to make things happen, but he's also walking inside of you so that you don't give up. A person of faith does not give up. Many, many of us are used to the popular culture of instant gratification. That is, once you begin to believe, you pray like this, it just happens. If it doesn't happen, God is not there. People think when you are having a tough time, or maybe you have difficulties, maybe you fail your exams and do it over and over again, or when you are believing God for a child and you don't have a child, it means that God is not there. No. I'm here to tell you this morning that all those stages where there is a kind of delay, so to speak, like our brother was talking about village people, you give village people too much credit. If they have that much power to stop you from progressing, I think we should serve them more. Because they are so powerful, they can stop God's purpose. No, it's not them. It is God's way of building perseverance in you. Are you hearing me? It is God's way of building you up, making sure that you not only get miracles, but let me put it this way. Perseverance works to not only build faith, which brings results, but perseverance builds enduring faith, which also, in addition to bringing results, brings maturity. Are you following me? I pray for you all this morning, whatever you are going through. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. I want you to remember in the midst of your storm that your perseverance is achieving something in your life. Each time you take an exam and you fail and you take it again, it's building something in you that the person that passed the first time does not have. Why do we need perseverance? In our walk with God, I'm going to read the Bible in a minute. In our walk with God on the road to maturity, we must navigate disappointments, criticisms, betrayal. And I'm going to read the Bible and let me say this to you. Every divine example teaches us what I'm talking about. Anybody in this Bible that you read about, you will notice what I'm saying in their lives. And divine examples are the best model for you and I to follow. While you are growing to maturity, you have to navigate disappointments, criticisms, betrayal, and sometimes loss. Like Pastor lost his dad, you know? All of those things are all that builds capacity. Many times, God disappoints your mind so that he can expose your heart. He will disappoint your expectation so that he can really get to know who you really are. He will be asking you questions like, can I trust this person with disappointments? Can I trust this person if he's criticized? Can I trust this person when he's lied upon? Because you see, all of these things are ingredients that God uses. If you keep going, he's building capacity. You listen to Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It speaks about a man that went through hell. Job 13, verse 15. He was going through hell. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his business. He lost his health. Finally, he lost his wife and was a servant of God. Listen to Job in the midst of all this. He said, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Though he slays me, even if God does not do what I want, I will still trust him. He said, but me, I will maintain my own ways before him. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Everybody say, I know my Redeemer liveth. That is the midst of trouble, in the midst of crisis. He said, I know something. My Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said in verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. At this time, he had cancerous boils all over his body. He's lost his business, he's lost his children, he's lost everything. But he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, even if worms destroy this body, that is all these worms that are all over, all these wounds. He said, even if they destroy this body, I know in my flesh, I will still see God. That's perseverance. That is standing strong. Why do we need perseverance? Number two, because every land flowing with milk and honey has giants, which we also lay claim ownership. Every land, anything you want to possess, that is good, that's wonderful, there will always be giants. And they won't just go and succeed without a fight. No. When you tell a demon to go, he will say no. He won't just go because, Pastor Fred is talking, let me go. For where? Or Pastor Alex is talking. So, no, they don't do that. That's one reason, again, you need perseverance. Number three, God wants to give us blessings, but he requires us to mature also. God wants you to grab all the blessings, but in the process, it is important to God that you don't only get blessings, but that you mature in the process. It is the nature of faith to connect us to that nature of God. That nature of God that brings maturity. If you talk to any successful businessman, I listened to him some yesterday. I remember I heard him say something like, he did some business that didn't work out. Am I right? It doesn't that, he just tried it and then he just left for where? That's not the way things go. But young people don't know that. Many young people don't know that. That's why they're going to Yahoo Yahoo. But they set a target. And God is saying, you have to grow first. If I give you 100 million today, you'll be doing what Hush Puppy is doing. Some of you, you're looking for money. If God gives you 100 million today, what will you do with it? You do stupid things. That's why I see some people, they win lottery. And this is a fact. They win lottery of maybe 200 million pounds or 200 million dollars. And in a short time, they are broke. Because they didn't grow up. Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper. Even as your soul prospers. If your soul does not prosper, if your soul does not mature, or like we said, prosper, and you prosper physically or naturally, you will self-destruct. So it's important that your soul also grows up to be able to handle the physical prosperity. Can I have an amen, please? Why do we need perseverance? Because it takes God a long time to work suddenly. You know how God works? He works slowly, surely, and then suddenly. That's how God works with everyone, from Abraham to Moses to the prophets, and then to our Lord Jesus Christ. I can prove that to you, but I don't have the time for that. But just know it. That is how God works. Slowly, surely, and then what? Suddenly. So when somebody says, it just happened. It's been coming for long. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, some people say, if God is for us, why is it that this thing is not happening? That's what Gideon said. Gideon said, if God is with us, why is it that we don't see the miracles that our father spoke about? It's because, you see, he was walking slowly. All the time, Gideon was running his mouth. He was walking slowly, surely, and suddenly. All the while, I was a student in the university. I knew a lot of scriptures. I could quote scriptures. I could say. Then when I graduated, now I needed to get a wife. I needed to get a good wife. Then I needed to get a good job. Then I needed to pay house rent. Then I needed to be a responsible Christian. So that if I just come out of university and I not get a big job and they give me a car and they give me a house and they give me a driver and everything, and I'm just like, wow, I'm a big man. What shall we do with all of these things? I think I should marry another wife. One of these sisters, this girl does not suit me anymore. If you are not growing commensurately, are you following what I'm saying this morning? Many of us don't want to grow up. But guess what? God will force you to grow up spiritually. He will force you to grow up. He will disappoint you so that you can grow up. It's not denial or that he can't do it. But he will force you to grow up by denying you some things so that you will say, even though he slays me, I will still trust him. You have need of patience after doing the will of God so that you can enter into the promise. Hebrews 10:35, he said, don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for we have need of patience. Everybody say, I need patience. You see, young people that are never patient. I was young too, so I know. When you see them driving, you know they are not patient. You know what? The key to their house is in their pocket. So, but you have to learn, especially through the dealings of God, to mature by being patient. Patience is a lost virtue. Said that after you have been patient, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you've done the will of God, you prayed, you fasted, you've done everything. Pastor has prayed for you. Yet, it does not happen. Or it has not happened. Better way to put it. Now the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Verse 38. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back. Those who draw back, we are not of them. We have no pleasure. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The Lord grant you perseverance in Jesus' name. At the end of my message, I'm going to call you out to cry to God for that prayer. Because you see, if not, anybody can give up. Oh, he has not done this, he has not done that. I remember many years ago, we used to do this all night. And I would lay hands on everybody, every single person. And there could be hundreds of them there. So it was 31st to 1st. I would anoint everybody with oil. And on our way home, after all night, I've been on my feet for about 6 hours. Praying for people, ministering to people, and God moving majestically through the house. It was this same hall. I was going out there. And one sister followed me. Pastor, praise God for this meeting. I said, amen. I'm just trying to get home because I'm tired. But this year is my year. I said, yes, of course. Hallelujah. This year is your year. I was going. Pastor, it is this year. I said, yes. She was about 45. She didn't have a husband. And so, of course, I was believing that God would give her a husband. So she was just following me. This year is my year. I said, amen, amen, amen. Let me just get to my car. Then when we got to the door, she said, it has to be this year. I now stopped. I said, what if it is not this year? She said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, it's not going to be this year. He said, Pastor, don't say that. How can you say that? I said, because you see, your heart is beginning to be revealed. The only reason you are serving him is because you want him to do this for you or to do that for you. You're not even thinking about him. That is God's purpose. All you are thinking about is your need. He wants you to grow beyond the need. Are you hearing me? And then you press into a relationship with a spiritual being that you cannot see. That is spiritual communion. Your heart, on the throne of your heart, must be Jesus and not your needs. Many people come to church because they want their needs met. It's okay to come to God for that. But if God has any need for your life, he will have to dethrone that problem from your heart. And he will be the throne of your heart. Then you begin to mature. What's perseverance? I'm going to try to answer now. So let's open to Luke chapter 18. That's half of the message. I will now teach what is perseverance by looking at Jesus as a divine example. Luke chapter 18. I know some of us are going through stuff of all sorts, and if God will just take, maybe you are sick, or your relationship is sick, or maybe you have a financial situation. And let me tell you, those things are very easy for God to meet. Very easy. It didn't cost him anything. You know the truth? He has already done it all. Including your healing, he has already done it. All you are thinking about is how to manifest it. So it's not something that is going to say, oh, this person had this need. Let me go and look for how we are going to do it. No, it's already done. Now look at this story, Jesus teaching, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible said he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is the end of this parable. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Some translation says, and not do badly. Men ought always to pray and not do badly. Men ought always to pray and not give up. Men ought always to pray. Verse 2 says, saying, this is not the parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary, and he will not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6. And Jesus said, the Lord said, hear what the unjust just saith. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry, how often? Day and night unto him. Though he belong with them, that is, he doesn't answer them on time. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's the sudden one. Just say, this person got healed. This person got blessed. Nevertheless, and this is where I'm really going. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord bless those words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Jesus ended this discourse by saying, look, this is what faith is. Let me tell you what faith is from this. Came to the judge, said, please do this for me. I don't fear God. I don't fear man. I'm not going to do it. She comes back again. Judge, do this for me. I don't fear. And she keeps coming. She's not giving up. That's what you call perseverance. Keep coming. Not giving up. He says, this judge now said, oh, this thing weary me. I don't tire. Because of that, he now does it. Now, the problem now is this. The faith that we receive, that we hear very regularly, almost tell us, say it and claim it. And it is done. Many people teach faith that once you say it once, you don't say it again. Because if you say it again, it's unbelief because you didn't believe it worked the first time. Now listen, Jesus is saying this is what real faith is. Persevering until the answer comes. Amen? That is what real faith is. It's important for us to know that the Christian lifestyle is based on divine example. That's what Jesus is doing here. The question you ask yourself is, what will Jesus do in this situation? He's telling us, I'll keep asking. I'll keep praying. I will not pray, oh, this is working. So I'll keep doing it. No, I will keep doing it even when it is not working. That is what maturity really brings. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the same. Looking unto Jesus. Now look at Jesus. Look at the way he did it. He went through all this stuff. And he just kept going. Even though it appeared, that's why they left him. All those that were following him, when they saw that these people captured him, they said, a whole Messiah. He couldn't speak the word. But Jesus didn't stop. He kept on going. May you keep on going in Jesus' name. Perseverance is continuous in a state of grace to the end. Just continue. This will lead to eternal salvation. Let me repeat that for you. Continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. That is what perseverance is. You continue in a state of grace. You keep trusting. Keep being patient. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Don't say because, he has not done it. So if you do that, you cannot activate this dominion. You cannot. Because there's somebody ready to frustrate you. Anybody that's ever walked the walk of faith will know that you have to overcome every thought of the enemy that is fighting the thought of God's word. Anything that God's word says, you have to overcome it. You have to overcome the enemy with what God's word says. Casting down imaginations. Are you hearing me? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You have to persevere. It is not, for many people, it's a bad language. Talking about perseverance. I'm tired, though. I've been doing it. They say we should jump, we have jumped. They say we should pray, we have prayed. They say we should come to church, we have come. I've seen a lot of that in my short years as a pastor. And I discovered that people that do that they're never of use to God. When you first give your life to Christ, you can ask for something and it just happen. Then the next moment, you ask for something, it just happen. I say, hey, Jesus is good. Now, as you go on, you ask for something and then the thing is not happening. Has it changed? You ask for something, you are still struggling there. I remember when I was a very young man and I was leading the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship and I was still working for someone. So my income was limited and my boss at the time would not pay our salary for about 8 months. So I didn't have money, but I was the leader of a great fellowship. And some people in the fellowship will come to me and say, please, Brother Alex, please pray with us. I have a 100 million naira contract that is to come through. And I will just close my eyes and pray. And they will come and see me. Hey, I've got the contract of 100 million. Me, myself. I said, why is it working for some? not working for me. You know what? It was building capacity in me. Perseverance prays until the desire is accomplished. It is predicated on a revelation of the nature of God. You know what that nature of God is? He loves you. He loves you. He cares. He's disposed to show you mercy. You don't go to God and say, God, show me mercy. He wants to do it more than you can even be ready to receive it. But he wants to build you up. By not answering your questions. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Are you here with me? That's the standard operation. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. There's no room here for complain. Oh, God doesn't love me. Go for deliverance. I've seen many of our pastors, you know, some of our pastors, they will have serious financial needs while they're doing deliverance for other people. And then they do deliverance for them and something happens. So some of them will come to me and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need deliverance. I say, why? He said, because it's not working for me. It's working for other people. I say, yeah, because God is building up. Pastor, still pray. I say, I'm not praying. I've seen that more than twice. I'm not going to pray for you. You don't need prayer. You know all you need? Stand. I haven't done all to stand. Stand. As long as you have not died, a new day will dawn. Many of you are very young, but you're already taking on adult responsibility. Some of you pay your way through school. Some of you pay your house rent already. Most of us grew up in homes where their parents were paying house rent, but your own is not like that. And you see, when people have such a hard time starting, guess what? God has something greater for them. God uses them more. That's why he's using your pastor. Perseverance doesn't always roar. It is a quiet voice that whispers, I will try again tomorrow. You're not like, I'm persevering. Can't you see everybody that I'm persevering? Don't you see that I'm suffering? No, that's not perseverance. That is complaining. Persevering is, I'll try again tomorrow. Might be under your breath. I failed, I fall down, I'll rise up again. Seven times the righteous shall fall. Seven times the righteous shall rise again. That is the scriptures. Proverbs 26. Number three, perseverance is a grace that comes through hope. It's a grace that comes through hope. As your heart is established on Jesus, you will persevere. Grace will be released for you to persevere because you have hope. You're not hopeless. Many, many situations in life, I've seen people who, at the last minute, because they were hopeless, they gave up. But if they just held on a little bit, I can share my story with you quickly. Many years ago, I was still pastor here, and we had dunamis coming. Then I didn't raise offering for dunamis. I just believed God. And any money that came in, I put it into the convention. So this year, the money hadn't come in, and I set up the committee. The chairman of the committee will come to me and say, Pastor, we want to begin to... I say, do you have a budget? I say, yes, I have a budget. I say, how much is it? Tell me how many millions. I say, okay, don't worry, I'll pray. Pray, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. And I'm expecting that the money will come. That's how I operated by faith. But this year, the time was getting close. And the money was not come. And the chairman will harass me every Sunday. Pastor, the convention is coming. Where's money? I say, it's coming. Ah, Pastor, let it come. Oh. We have to do billboards. We have to do adverts. We have to book hotels. We have to do all these things. And my heart was being tried. In patience, just wait for the Lord. So I think it was getting about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You know what I did? The money we saved before that we were going to use for something else, I took it and gave it to the chairman. That night, I had a dream. In that dream, I saw a snake with a very big head, with his mouth open like this, full of cash. The Spirit of the Lord said to me in the dream, he said, that is your money. You allowed the devil to steal away because you are not patient. I learned a big lesson. If you don't learn to persevere, you might just be at the brink of a miracle. Most of the time, just at the brink. From then, I learned to wait upon the Lord and trust Him. Sometimes I create circumstances for myself to be patient. Like when we were building this building, I didn't have money. I raised all the offering. We raised 10 million. I announced. They were just looking at me, just like all of you are looking at me now. You know, people are looking at me and they think this man has money. I said, you pay your tithe before you say I have money. Where did I get the money from? The thing, because I'm an architect, I'll just take the money of architecture. No, architecture cannot finance a church. No man can finance the church. So, I took the money, I took the 10 million I had, and we began to build. The building cost is 50 million. So, I'm talking about creating an environment for you to be patient. I decided to raise the loan so that I can wait. Because it's 50 million I'm going, 10 million cannot get there. Only God can take it from 10 million to 50 million. So I decided to take a loan from the bank. And I was going to use this building to be the collateral. So I called all the bankers disturbing me to come and take loan. I said, yeah, come. Go and take loan for me in your bank. I need a loan of 50 million to finish the building. They say they cannot take the building. They say the building is church. They cannot sell it. So I must get paper of a building they can sell. Now I have the house, which is my own. And I know people that have their own houses. I could not turn to any of them to say, bring your paper. So I took my own house and I gave it to them. So they came to my house, they inspected it. They said, this has no more than 17 million. They said they want to buy it. They want to fling it if I don't pay. I said, okay, I will give you the house. 17 million. So they gave me 17 million. Now listen to see how God works suddenly. The building is 50 million. I have 10 million plus 17 million. Can 27 million finish a 50 million building? So, I started. 27 million. The 17 million, they say I will pay over 3 years. You know how much I'm going to pay? At least 5 times at the end of 3 years. If I pay it earlier, I'll pay much. So I begin. You know what God did? I paid up for that house, this building where my office is. I finished it and I first paid up the 17 million in 1 year. Payback. Then I finished the building so that I must have spent at least over 50 million, thereabout. And I got my paper back. You see what God can do? But I was patient. I wasn't in a hurry because I knew that before the 27 million finish. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Faith and perseverance. Or like some people that have exams. They've done it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. I've seen people like that. I can exam. They've done it. And I just pray with them. I say, this year you're going to get it. And then, I'm tired. I don't want to do it again. I say, do it. Just one more time. When they try it, the last time, they pass. Perseverance is courage to confront what you want to conquer. Perseverance nourishes our faith, strengthens it. That's what perseverance does. When you are patiently, you are strong, you have courage, but you must have peace of mind. Moses was called to deliver Israel after 40 years in the wilderness. It took another 40 years before they entered. The elders were divided in their opinion. Some say we can, some say we can't. Others said we are bread to them. We are just grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb said, let us go over, for we're able to take the land. You know, when pastor comes with a project, many times he doesn't have the full support of the church. When we're planning to build that building, somebody said, let's stay where we are. We have not even fooled the place where we are safe. We should be doing 2 services there before we buy another building. I didn't listen to them. But I was determined. Let me tell you how it happened. I'll give you an idea of how these things work. It was after a convention like this. Usually on Monday morning, I come to my office that was in the basement. And I'm just there and I'm just praying in tongues and thinking. It just occurred to me, we can buy that building. I listened to all the messages. I was at every session. I heard all the messages, take notes, some. And then something was working in my heart. Before, I had been told to come and buy it. We can't buy it. We can't buy it. But after the convention, we can buy this thing. So I called the people. I said, the real estate people. I said, we want to buy that. They say, do you have money? I say, yes, I have money. The truth is, I didn't have money, but I had money where? If you have it here, then you have it. That's how faith works. I said, faith works. Enduring faith not only works, but builds character. I'm a bolder person now to take on multi-million naira projects. Because I've taken up small projects. So I know my God can supply all my needs. So that when I hear this amount, I'm not afraid. I've grown up. Covenants has benefits. The benefits of covenants comes through taking responsibility. Say, we can do this thing. My God is bigger than this. You see, our common problems binds us together. The enemy wants to use our problems to separate us. What you are looking for is not what I'm looking for. No, all of you. All you need is God. If you have God, all our problems will dissolve. If you really have him in the right and proper place. When they came to the Red Sea and all the people were beginning to complain, hey, Moses, you brought us here to destroy us. Why are we here? And all that and all that. You know what Moses did? He went to God. He didn't encourage, he didn't start to tell them, okay, you know. I had one question yesterday. Somebody said, God has called me. But everybody around me is telling me God has not called me. What do I do? If you know that God has called you, don't care what anybody is saying. Oh, well, people are not coming to church. Maybe it's because God has not called me. Oh, this sickness is not going. Maybe that's not what the scripture is saying. No. It's important for us to know that a lot of the benefits that are in the dominion mandate will only become manifest as we stand and keep on standing and never yield ground for the enemy. In spite of all the noise and the hiss. Look, if you ever have going to have faith, they're going to listen to it. They're going to hear a lot of things from the devil. Even after you have believed. This is what separates the good men from great men. This is what separates the boys from the men. A lot of people know some scripture. They can even quote it. A lot of people can preach. They have very sweet tongue. But has their faith ever been tried? Have they been in the crucible of deliverance? Oh, like the three Hebrew children. Have they had to say, even if God does not answer? This is what activates dominion. Perseverance. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
believe me what I'm saying. God, I've had to prove it. The men of David continued with him from Cave Adullam when he was running from Saul. And there was a time David was running all over this place. And his men that followed him from the cave became great men. But you know what? They didn't start as great men. Started as debtors, disgraced people that had no job. But they kept following David. By the end of the story, they had become great men. That's what perseverance does for you. Let me give you a summary of what I'm saying in the next 5 minutes. Perseverance brings maturity. And this releases the power that brings glory. As we take root downwards, looking for the glory of God alone, as the saints mature, works of power that brings glory to God begins to be manifest. Many of you from today, God will give you gifts. Because, believe me, He will give you gifts because you have stayed the course. When they were going to replace Judas, and they gathered themselves in Acts chapter 1, and all the people gathered, and they said, "Who shall we choose?" They said, "We don't know." So they cast lot, and then they zeroed on two. Those two, they now took them and they said, "Okay, oh God, who of these do you choose?" But this is the condition we know must be important. These people have been with us from the beginning. They didn't just come yesterday when we are not successful and they want to join us. There are some people here who are saying, "Oh, this church is not big enough. This church is this pastor is that and all that." Because they have not seen the glory that is yet to be revealed. They leave. But some people stay. Even when there was nothing to hold on to. Not that their prayers have been answered. Not that they have a testimony. They stayed. Now, that quality of staying put, even when there's nothing to hold on to, is what I'm talking about this afternoon. I say, Habakkuk 2:14 said, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." That's one of the prophecies God has given us. This whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory. Knowledge of the glory, the knowledge of the glory of Jesus. This earth shall be filled with it. How is it going to happen? It's going to take you, young people, many of you, to go out into the whole world carrying the glory with you. So wherever you go, as I was listening to those testimonies, I'm so blessed because, you see, anyone who ever gets anything from God can never forget God. If you ever get God, any act of God's mercy. You know, in Stone Church, we've had some very rich people over the years. We even had somebody who was a senator. When we were very small. He became one of the 104 senators in Nigeria. The money to buy the form for the election, we contributed it. 100,000. He didn't have it. We too didn't have it. But we put our heads together to buy the form to become a senator. He became a senator. But when he became a senator, he forgot. He forgot us. We've had a lot of people that are blessed, like Brother Kole Abbas and Obasa was saying. So beautiful. But after some time, you don't see them. Like you said, I most of them, they came yesterday. They will not wait for this man. I'm a big man. But you know, that is the end because they forgot their roots. But if you have gone through the process, then when God blesses you, you can carry it. You can carry the blessing. You can carry it with grace. You can carry it with the humility. You don't begin to think too much of yourself because where God is taking you is further than what you have now. And only God can get you there. Let me say this. I tell my people, you don't really need me to be rich. No. You don't need me to have a breakthrough in business, to build a house. No, you don't need. You don't need. In fact, you don't need me to pray for you. You know who you need? It's God you need. My responsibility is to help you to have this relationship with God so that God can take you to where He wants to take you to. The process is what we are talking about. Wherein you get to know Him. He will show you His ways. He will show you this one. During the process, when things are not working, that is the time that He wants to take you gradually. So when you become big, you don't forget where you're coming from. The work of the ministry, the work of the pastor, is to mature the saints so that they can do the work of ministry. That's what Ephesians 4. He said he gave this gift for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4 verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. That is the job of the pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostles. It is to perfect you, to mature you, so that you are a man, you are a woman of faith. Because God wants to commit something bigger into your hand. Some of you will be evangelists, some of you will be pastors, some of you will be top businessmen and women. Some of you don't know yet, yes. Some of you don't know yet. And maybe nobody knows. Except the devil who is listening to a message like this and he said, look, these people don't understand what he's saying. Just tell him, those are the schemes of Satan. So that you will not have the relationship that you need to have. I was just coming from our meeting, our service this morning. I was telling them to be coming to Bible study. I was glad when the young man that was here was also telling people to come to Bible study. What I was telling them that, look, if you don't come to Bible study, you don't know how the Word of God works. You don't know the works of God. And you're running around. You're looking for a breakthrough. If you do get the breakthrough, that breakthrough will destroy you. Or maybe you even want spiritual gifts. I want anointing. I want power of God. I want to shake the world. If you don't go through the process, that anointing will destroy you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The mandate that you will release, that God will activate through you, will be as a result of your maturity. And when you do have it, by virtue of your maturity, by the level that you see, you'll see that nothing in this world can stand before you. Nothing. The enemy will always come, but he will never prevail. Because the greater one lives inside of you, and you know it for a fact. The ministry of Jesus is a good one to close with. I told you that the Christian life is supposed to be a divine example, follows divine example, that is examples of scripture. Probably the greatest you can follow is that of Jesus. He came here as a man, but it was God in his heart. If you watch his ministry, The miracles that were done in his ministry gradually increased in power. At the beginning, he was speaking to inanimate objects like water. He will walk on water. He will speak to water. He will speak to the storm. But after that, his ministry began with healings. He began to do healings. His healings were so remarkable. But he didn't stop there. He moved on to creative miracles. Healing somebody with blinded eyes. Creating eyes where there were no eyes. A withered hand, create a new one. He didn't start with that. Grace increased. Then he came to raising the dead. Even that on different level. The first person raised from the dead was Jairus' daughter, who just died a few minutes. Jesus raised him up, raised her up. Then this daughter of the widow of Nain, maybe a few hours, raised him from the dead, the son of the widow of Nain. Then Lazarus had been dead for how many days?
4 days.
Jesus raised him up. That was the last miracle he did before he went to the cross. Graduation. Even in himself, he was able to raise up himself from the dead because he had raised Lazarus up. Now watch this. He died on the cross. That is power. Buried and resurrected the third day. That is power. Greater than dying on the cross. By the time he died on the cross and resurrected, he now ascended into heaven before their eyes like this. That is another level of power. He graduated. Grace lifted him from level to level. Are you hearing me? Each of these should give us to know that even you and I can move from one level of glory to another level of glory if you follow in the steps of Jesus. How did Jesus live his life? He lived his life to fulfill scriptures. If you read Matthew's gospel as a whole, everything he did, you will say, so as the scriptures can be fulfilled. At the point of death, when they came and Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of the, the guy, Jesus said, don't do that. If you do that, how will the scripture be fulfilled? All he wanted was for the scripture to be fulfilled. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You and I should walk and live in a way like we want the scripture to be fulfilled. That is Christianity. I want the scripture. When you are sick, why do you want to be healed? Because the scripture says, by stripes I'm healed. Stand on that. Persevere. Stand still. Don't go running to places where there is no answer. That the woman with the issue of blood and went all around and went around, spent all her money and she was only getting worse. Get in touch with Jesus. He said, I've heard that if I touch this man, something will happen. So what you hear Sunday after Sunday, week after week, believe it and persevere on it. You will see the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
He's preparing you for the next level. That is what this whole convention is about. It's not that he can't get you there like this. But it's for your good that you don't just get there like this. It's for your good that you gradually. Like I tell them in our church, we have all kinds of miracles happening sporadically. One happened recently that has turned us all, and I've been saying it all over the world. The woman had a fibro growth. I said it in Lagos just last week. And the woman is an illiterate, she's a cleaner. According to the law of the ICC people, she's supposed to be inside the toilet, cleaning the toilet. But she came out to listen. To listen to the word of God because she had an issue. A fibroid was disturbing her. It moves around like a baby and it's not going. And it's painful. And but that night, when I said, come out for prayer, she didn't come out for prayer. She said, no. He said, Pastor said this thing happened in the spirit. That's part of my teaching. How did Jesus take away your sins? In the spirit. Because he took it away before you were even born. He took it away before you committed the sin. The only way he could have done that is in the spirit. How did he take away your sickness? He took it away in the spirit. He said, Pastor, this woman cannot speak English. She has no Bible. She has no Bible. If I was asking her, I said, she should go to church where you'll be listening to Bible. He said, everything you are saying, I understand, Pastor. I said, surely you understand, because she gave the testimony. It's on video. I probably played it at Dunamis because it's such a powerful testimony. She said, as I prayed for people that came out on our seat, she said, Mugba, Mugba. That is, she couldn't speak English. Mugba. Whatever it is, because people are falling down and everything, and somewhere screaming and everything. She said, Mugba. And she went home. She slept. In the night, she had a dream. The dream, she saw it come out. And in the dream, she said, give me phone, give me phone, so I can take the picture and go and show pastor. So, the very night, it was a Friday, when she woke up, she saw it. Hallelujah. Now, if you appreciate God's power, you will clap very well. In the spirit. You see, that's why sometimes when people know scriptures, I think they should know the truth of scriptures. Not just the word. Know the truth of the word. What she said is solid faith. Whatever it is that's knocking these people down, I receive it. So she's not like, according to this scripture, but she's talking the real thing. We have such miracles. We had other cases where the thing came out and you took picture. We have some people that went to the hospital to do surgery to remove the same thing, spend money. We also have that happen. We have people that have been for many years with that child, 14, 15, 20 years, and then they get pregnant. But I say, I'm not satisfied. Well, we have seen people also die. I want us to be like Jesus. So let's move from this level to another level. Let's move to the level of Jesus. Let our heart crave that. And the way I'm going to crave it is to have Jesus glorified, established in your heart, in your relationship with Jesus. Personal relationship. Talk to him. Fellowship with him. Surrender everything. To the point that you do not have anything you cannot give to him because you have given him your life. There's nothing that he wants you to do that you will not do. When you get to that level, if he doesn't do anything, don't worry. Amen? You come to a place of rest. Hallelujah. Let me close. Sorry, this is second closing. Because it just came to me again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which we speak about, it says, word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. If you want to understand the context of that scripture, read from verse 1. From verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4, it's talking about faith being a rest. He said the kind of rest that God has. When you have faith, you have faith like God. When you have faith like God, you will rest like God rests. You know, God is not... Somebody asked me, I had a meeting with some of the first timers last week, about 2 weeks ago, now, 1st of October, and they were asking, they say, is it my sins that is making God to punish me? Is it because I did this that God did this? Is it because I did that that God did that? I said, no. And this is it. The Bible says we should rest like God rested on the seventh day. What made God to rest on the seventh day was that God had finished his work. Not that he was tired. Are you hearing me? He cannot be tired because he doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. But I say for you and I, we can get tired. And at that time, we cannot say we are resting. What can make God rest? Listen, God rested because he had finished his work. The whole universe he has created in a way that it will support itself. And it will keep going like that forever. So, anything that happens, he will just look away from it. Because he has finished it. Amen? He has finished the devil, all his work. He has finished everything that the devil can do. And all he's doing now is resting. He has finished his work. The Bible says we should rest like that. What does that really mean? It means that we believe that everything concerning us has been finished. If you can get to that level where all the things that happen to you don't move you, then you are walking in faith. That is the way God rests. Because he has done everything and he goes to rest. He said, you also rest in him, of course, as if everything concerning you has been done. Now, some of you are in different stages of struggles, different stages of difficulties, even different stages of health. I want you to rest in God. Surrender to him. I say, Lord, I rest in you. That's why the scriptures now comes in. The word of God is quick and powerful. When you rest in him, the word will now begin to work. That is where you will see things happen in your life. You didn't pray about it. You will see favor. Where is this coming from? You know why? God has taken over. When you rest. But I see you're still trying to make it happen. No. What you do is pray. Once you pray, rest. If you can be anxious, don't pray. But if you can pray, don't be anxious. Did you get that? Stand on your feet, everyone. I know we are different levels of giving up. But if you are at the brink, let me start with this person or these people. You almost committed suicide not long ago because you are tired. You have tried. You are at the point of committing suicide. And even yesterday night, you are at the point of you remembered it. And you are even ready to do it yesterday or recently. You are such a person. Begin to come out now. Just begin to come out now. You are almost going to take your own life because you have tried all you can and you are about to give up. Please come now. If you are not about to commit suicide, but you almost got there, begin to come also. But I know some people don't want to be stigmatized. You are tired. What is swear? You are a person that you really will wish that you are not in the situation you find yourself. Begin to come now. I'm going to pray with you for a new level of endurance or perseverance. A level of standing that only God can give you. That's irrespective of situations. Irrespective of situations. Keep coming. I'll wait a minute, but we don't have forever. You can only be better. It can't be worse. Because God's power will come upon you. God's grace. And then you will begin to experience what Jesus experienced. Because once you do that, then it takes over. I teach in our church regularly that if you come to God and say, Lord, I submit to you, he will take you, he will rush you. He will not say, oh, well, you know, why are you coming now? No, anytime you come to him, he will rush you. And it's because you are fretting, that is why you are not making progress. Please come quickly, quickly, quickly. If you are for ministry, please move closer to me. There's still space, please come. Good. Bible talks about being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It's the Spirit of God that strengthens us to be able to stand. The Spirit of God that makes us to continue in this race. When the things are, the answers are not coming, and maybe people are saying, you go to church every day, or not that. You know? I've seen people like that did exams, and their family say, look, this church, that's why you're not passing. It's because you go to church too much. Because they don't understand. Church, please stretch your hands and begin to pray for them. I know some of us also are at different levels of giving up. But you, for a moment, forget about your situation. Stretch your hands towards these people. They are at the brink. You are still about to give up, but you are still ask God to strengthen them by His Spirit. Please come up stage. You want to sing? Please come.
Once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.